Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettina, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Jay Schneiderman, who's the only man in history to have been the supervisor of two adjacent towns. Not at the same time, but one after the other. So I thought now that he has retired from those that were serving beautifully with at least two terms on both, much loved. How are these two towns different from one another in your mind? And what are some advice you might give?
Sure. Well, first, on the record, historically, apparently no one has been elected supervisor of two different towns in New York State other than me. Well, at least that's what I'm told. So it's not just the adjacent town. And the supervisor position is a pretty, you have to be familiar with your constituents. So it's a pretty localized position. I think that's why typically you don't see that happening. In my case, I moved from Montauk to Southampton, and I had served both of those, the East Hampton and the Southampton community, as a legislator. So they knew me from my county work. But getting to your question about the differences, I mean, the boundary is somewhat artificial. Nature didn't create the boundary. The boundary is, I guess, town line road, which isn't a particularly straight line. It changes over on Route 27. And at one point, so it moves a little bit east and then goes up through the woods there. I don't know historically how that line was created. It's probably pretty interesting. But in terms of the geography, the issues of water and the environmental issues, they're largely the same. It just turns out that there's a lot of other things way more in common between the two towns than there are differences. They're both great communities. They struggle with the same issues of transportation and traffic and lack of affordable housing and groundwater protection, those types of things. But, Southampton is a bigger town. The population is easily three times that of East Hampton. Because it's larger, it has a governmental structure that, has more department heads, more people involved than perhaps East Hampton. So there's an economy of scale that Southampton enjoys that perhaps East Hampton doesn't. East Hampton, smaller, it still has to have a town attorney, a building inspector, a code enforcement, town clerk, town hall, all those things, with a smaller tax base to pay for all those things. When I got to be Southampton supervisor, I had the experience of having been East Hampton supervisor. So what's that expression? If I knew then what I know now, I sort of had that knowledge, going into being supervisor a second time, of all sort of the pitfalls from the first round, some of the challenges. And so I was able to, avoid some of those problems that maybe somebody coming in without that experience. And it is a challenging job. The supervisor is a management job. You're not just a policymaker. You are involved with, disciplining employees, preparing the budget, all the aspects of municipal government you're in charge of. It's challenging. And of course, the politics that, go with these positions too. And it's interesting because in villages, they don't have so much the Democrat versus Republican politics. They don't run on those national party lines, but at the town level, they do. So you see national politics seeping into these local elections, like what just happened recently, the last election where there was a large sweep to the Democratic side in groups like the trustees in Southampton, which have historically always been Republican, became a Democratic body. And that happened years ago in East Hampton, too. It's interesting. So you have the politics on top of the management, complexities.
There must have been departments that were overly oversized on one but short on the other. I'm looking to see where you might be able to say to one town now. I interviewed Police Chief Brannon from New York. He had been the chief at Los Angeles. And he said the difference between the two cities, as far as the police department was concerned, were so vast in terms of numbers that it was just New York, they're everywhere. In LA, it's hard to find, and it was a whole different experience. So from that is why I thought to call, that's how they might work that same way in these two that would be advisable to them.
Both East Hampton and Southampton are still relatively small towns if you compare them to places like Brookhaven, with 500,000 people. And Southampton's population, I don't even know anymore, let's say 100,000, and East Hampton's 20,000 or something like that. Actually, Southampton is probably less, maybe 60,000. I guess depends on the time of year. So Southampton is like three times the size of East Hampton. And honestly, they should do more things together and share resources intermunicipally. So they both don't have to buy the same equipment. They could share the equipment that maybe would be sitting around, whether it's for the highway department or, another department like the, the Bay Constables. There's certain pieces of equipment that you could share. And they could do more. There's been some efforts to do that. But, I think, you have a bit of more of economy of scale in Southampton. You have a larger budget. So it's a little bit easier, I think, to absorb some of the expenses that come a town's way, whether it's, unexpected legal expenses or, settlements and things like that. There's always things that you weren't prepared for that come as a surprise. And there's been more litigation at the local level than I've seen in the past. And, that can be very expensive and you don't know what the outcome is.
What specific things are you talking about? Is there an atmosphere in the two municipalities?
I'm sorry, is there what?
A different feeling in the two different municipalities because one is larger.
There are unique issues. East Hampton has an airport. Southampton residents are affected by that airport. That put Southampton and East Hampton at odds at times. Most of the issues are the same. Sometimes we compete for employees, department heads, because, it's the same pool of people. Often, you have to work off of these civil service lists when you recruit employees. It's a very limited pool of people. And so East Hampton has found it very, very hard to find employees. Southampton too. But for East Hampton, a lot of these employees have to drive through Southampton to get to East Hampton because we're recruiting from further and further west. That's a challenge. In the old days, most of the workers lived within East Hampton. Even when I started there, when I was elected supervisor at the end of 1999, came into office, Y2K, January 1st of 2000, a lot of the town employees were town residents. But, as property values went up and up and up, it became harder and harder, as rents went up too. So finding employees as they would retire, replacing them with people became very, very challenging. And I think, East Hampton had to raise their salaries over and over again to try to just find people. Southampton, not as bad as East Hampton, not as far a commute, but still same challenges with finding workers. It used to be people would commute, the local economy, there were pockets of workforce housing within both towns. In East Hampton, Springs, even Montauk had a lot of affordable housing. Springs. In Southampton, you had like North Sea, Noyak, and of course, all the west of the canal, Hampton Bays, East Quag, Riverside. Over time, these areas have gotten more expensive. And so the commuting pattern in East Hampton, which was north-south as the workforce basically just commuted on local roadways, it became a west-to-east, east-to-west commuting pattern. And there really never was the infrastructure to handle that, just with one road, Montauk Highway, versus all the north and south roads. So, over time, you got all the complexities that came with that, the difficulty recruiting employees, and of course, the traffic, and the loss of quality of life as your workforce did not live in the community. So You know, there's a price you pay for that. You know, when the school teacher can't come to the play at night and see their students perform, or, you know, the nurses at the hospital are too far away to respond to an emergency. You know, the soul of a community gets torn apart. And that's a shame. It's still a lovely place and people want to be here and people are willing to pay high numbers. But it has changed through the years, both East Hampton and Southampton, and at least in that respect. On the winning side, both towns have done a spectacular job preserving their environment. You know, the Community Preservation Fund program, which has generated, you know, well over $1 billion just on the South Fork, has preserved thousands and thousands of acres. And so the fear of overdevelopment or losing rural character or farmland, a lot of that has been allayed by very, very aggressive preservation movement. A lot of it surrounded protecting drinking water, and there's still been impacts to drinking water from chemicals that we didn't realize would get into the drinking water. So that's been challenging to remove those chemicals, you know, the perfluorinated compounds, in particular more recently, that have gotten into the water in both Southampton Town and East Hampton Town. That's been problematic. And of course, the bays and harbors that have suffered from bacteria and particularly nitrogen, you know, algal blooms that have been spurred by an overabundance of nitrogen and phosphorus in the water column. So that's been a real challenge for these towns. And they're, you know, they've been trying to address it with these programs to change sanitary systems, to nitrogen removing sanitary systems. And both towns have very aggressive programs and policies on the books to require these types of systems. That's not something that's going to change overnight. That's sort of a generational approach. There's thousands of systems that need to get changed at a high cost. But both towns are responding to the need to reduce nitrogen that is getting into the bays and ponds and harbors and all these. Not so much the ocean, though. The programs do extend to oceanfront properties, but the real critical problems are in the inner bodies of water, not so much the ocean or the sound.
Earlier, you had mentioned about the need to pay higher salaries in East Hampton. I seem to recall that the budgets of the two towns were years ago measurable, East Hampton being about one-third that of Southampton. But in recent years, I think East Hampton has closed that gap.
I haven't looked. I'm not entirely surprised. I can't imagine East Hampton is more than half of Southampton. It's probably still closer to a third. I would have to check that. And Southampton has been going up. There's been some increases in property taxes. You know, most of the property tax is school, not town. School is usually about 75% of the property tax bill. And I think we still in general enjoy pretty low property taxes. Well, we have a very seasonal community and a lot of the property owners don't put kids in the school and don't draw town services that much because it's so seasonal. But both towns have been getting hit with some really high expenses, particularly healthcare expenses going up, pension contributions going up. And, you know, they don't have any choice. They have to pay these bills. They have to provide these benefits that are negotiated benefits to the workforce. So rising healthcare has really impacted the towns a lot. I always, when I was supervisor, tried to find non-property tax revenues to sort of plug these holes, you know, whether it was bringing in grants for projects from other levels of government or, you know, simple things like, you know, parking fees or building permit expenses, you know, the fees you pay to get these permits. The towns have put in a lot of these things. If you rent your house, you have to pay for a rental permit. The costs of building permits have gone up, I think, substantially in both towns. So, you know, there's been some efforts more on the village level for paid parking. You know, that creates an opportunity for new revenues, automated ticketing. Yeah, you see this even across the county with the red light cameras. Now they're talking about speed cameras, trying to get some speed cameras in. These all are non-property tax revenues. school bus cameras, that's a non-property tax revenue. People complain about those things, but you know, they do tend to help keep taxes lower. But I don't think you've seen reductions in workforce, and you really can't in either town. I think there's a growing demand. There's more seasonal population, and it's very hard to deliver the level of services that people want with a reduced workforce. These are labor-intensive services for the most part.
This being supervisor?
Oh, yeah, I loved it. I loved for both in both towns. And even being a legislator, I love. You know, public service is in my heart. I like helping people. I like solving problems. It's something I really enjoyed. Even people who, you know, might not have been happy with things, I, you know, always welcomed their opinions. And I always sort of appreciated when people got involved. You know, community building, it's an amazing thing when you can be a part of helping create a place where people feel a sense of belonging, where people feel safe, where people can live their lives, enjoy their lives. And, you know, the Hamptons is such a special spot, not just because it's, you know, has a beautiful environment, but the culture here, the arts, it's so vibrant and has so much to offer. I always try to celebrate that and bring out the best in people. Yeah, I do miss it, Dan. I do. And you know, because you've been so much a part of the culture of the Hamptons, you know, through dance and through your involvement in different things. And it truly is a magical, special place. You know, it's paradise. I'm here right now in Montauk. It's hard to find a more beautiful place anywhere. So,
are you retire or do you have more plans?
You know, I'm running a not-for-profit right now, an environmental group that's trying to clean up pollution in the bays, and in particular Mecox Bay, and looking at some new technologies and trying to reverse some of the damage that's happened through the years. And I've really actually been enjoying that. So I don't see stopping that anytime soon. I would like to do some traveling. And, you know, I might, you know, get involved with some other community types of activities. And of course, music is, you know, my passion as well. I'm a drummer and a songwriter. So I do a little bit of that when I can. Life is good. I do miss, though, town hall. I do miss public service. Whether I would get back into it or not, I don't know. I get asked a lot, run for this, run for that. And I usually shrug my shoulders and say, maybe not right now.
Well, thank you for being on the podcast. Appreciate it very much. I wanted to ask, are they still doing drumming on the beach in Sagaponack?
Well, this time of year, no. You know, last year they charged us, which really left a bad taste in my mouth. I ended up fronting the money for that, you know, after 15 years or 20 years of performing for free and it becoming a real community event Monday nights at Sag Main Beach. And the town charged us, the drummers that were in town residents. It was over $1,000. So I'm hoping that next year they recognize our contribution to the community and don't charge us for parking. We'll see. I'm certainly going to ask for that relief next year. But you know, we'll be back in the springtime. And it's such a fun family thing on Monday nights at Sag Main Beach. We do see a lot of people who come and enjoy it. I've seen you there too. So it's a good thing. So yeah, we'll be back.
We'll see you there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Take care, Dan. Thanks for having me on your show.